to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. Every time I do that intro, my dog gets up from the couch where he's lounging and runs over to me as if he knows I need his help to do this podcast. He's a very good dog, and every single time I do the "oh," he runs over like I'm in danger. And I'm fine, pup. Thank you, though. So I have an assistant today, so that's a good start. Welcome to the NXT Podcast. We have a fun episode of NXT to talk about this week. NXT is often at its best when it's high stakes, determining new contenders, so on and so forth. And a week from Sunday is going to be TakeOver, which means we have some qualifying matches to get into those title matches, both for the women's title and the NXT title itself. So, as I said, we have a great episode to go over this week. As always, you can find me on Twitter. I'm ZachNXT, ZachNXT. You can always find me over there. Now, as you know, generally, we do talk about the news and the notes or what's going on the other WWE shows. And this week, we're talking about Raw. Raw has been not great the last few weeks. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that, one, we're running back a lot of the same feuds, and also we're doing this Retribution thing. So, to this point, Retribution has just been a group that dresses like Tozawa's ninjas who've been running around backstage and throwing things and lighting things on fire, but only doing it to things that were safely outside and sometimes attacking people in the back, so on and so forth. As we all know, the original people they had under the masks were not the people that were going to be Retribution. That's why they were so short. And this week, they spoke, and we found out who the members are for sure. Now, we had basically figured this out. We were a little unsure about the last member, but now we have all of them. So, Retribution finally cuts a promo in the ring. They're still dressed up. I'm not sure why, as we can clearly see who they are, but we found out that, as we thought, it's Dominik Dijakovic. Got it. Mia Yim. Got it. Mercedes Martinez. A little bit of a surprise, but got it. Dio Madden. Got it. And Shane Thorne. Some people thought that Shane Thorne's guy was going to be The Miz, but it is, in fact, Shane Thorne. Now, that in itself may have been fine, except that apparently they're going to get new edgy names because Retribution is edgy and they're not here to play with you. So Dijakovic is T-Bar. I'm not joking with you. Dio Madden is Mace. And Shane Thorne is Slapjack. And I understand. I do a lot of jokey jokes on this podcast. I understand that you think that I'm making a joke with T-Bar, Mace, and Slapjack. I'm not. I used to follow Dominik Dijakovic on Twitter until his tweets disappeared. He was tweeting nothing, and he's now changed his name to T-Bar, and just about all of their tweets are set up in a way that only other members of Retribution can comment on them. Now, that if you were going to just have a group and only talk to that group, you would think you could just set up a group text. I think that they don't allow replies from other people because even they know how stupid this is and how dumb and how not intimidating and how immediately dead in the water this whole gimmick is. So we had a bunch of ninjas for a bunch of weeks who were much shorter than these guys running roughshod. And then we have a promo. Mia Yim does most of that promo. And it's not a good promo, not because of Mia Yim, I don't think, but because I'm going to guess Vince thought that this would be really cool, and he didn't want it to just be a new Nexus thing, but it is, and it's worse. I believe T-Bar on Twitter, before I had to unfollow him because this is ridiculous, was talking about how this isn't going to be a flop just like the new Nexus. My point of view is that it's already worse somehow. New Nexus was just another Nexus group. They were trying to catch lightning in a bottle twice. It didn't work. This is a bunch of people who are angry at the WWE, I guess because they haven't been given opportunities, which is weird considering that like a bunch of people got fired, and I think that those would be the folks that are angry, not the people that have jobs. Dijakovic was supposed to be coming to Raw forever. Mia Yim, up to this point, was an active participant on NXT. Mercedes Martinez, just the other week, had a cage match with Rhea Ripley. She seems like a late addition. Dio Madden might have some skin in the game here. He was taken out by Brock Lesnar. He was an announcer, and then I think he decided he wanted to be a wrestler. He wanted to go back to a wrestler, not a commentator. And then I think he was on Raw Underground once or twice. I don't know when the last time is I've seen Shane Thorne. I am trying really hard to think of it, and I can't. And it's just, it's rare that you see a gimmick in WWE especially, because WWE is very good at coming up with a new character and at the very least presenting them in such a way that they can be taken seriously. There's generally something intriguing about the person. There's generally something that makes you think, okay, this person is here and they're here to stay. Especially in this iteration, or rather this generation, it's been less gimmicky gimmicks of like a profession, and it's been more Samoa Joe is coming, and you know who Samoa Joe is, you know he's serious, he's presented very seriously. And so, when he shows up on TV, you're ready to take him seriously. Okay, fine. Retribution, I think that they think that they've been presenting them seriously, but the last time they talked, the other week, they had a voice changer in the back. And then this week they cut a nonsensical promo about nothing that makes no sense. If this were a group of five people who had been released and were now back, that would be one thing. They would have a legitimate gripe, but none of these five, save maybe for Shane Thorne, maybe Dio Madden, don't really have gripes. These people were active participants on WWE television and then decided they wanted to play dress up. And even if everything had been presented fantastically, which it wasn't, but even if they had been, at the point at which you told me Dominik Dijakovic is now T-Bar, Dio Madden is now Mace, and Shane Thorne is now Slapjack, that made me laugh really hard, and they were so very serious. And I can only imagine, the closest that I can get to this feeling is that I took drama in high school for 3 or 4 years, because I'm that guy, you know? You could tell, you know? You could tell. And often we would have to do monologues or scenes, but my drama teacher was notoriously not super into teaching, like, the hard part. So she basically would just give us a different thing every week and lazily explain what blocking and cheating is. And we would often get these monologues, and sometimes we got to pick our own. Like I did one from Friday Night Lights, because I'm not like most guys. I am. I'm exactly like that. But sometimes we would have to write our own scenes, and we had an exercise 1 week where we had to write a scene, and then she shuffled them and gave them out randomly. So I was reciting a scene, a monologue, from somebody else in the class that had written it. And because she had not taught us anything about how to write a scene, they were all bad. I tried to make mine really funny, and it was really only funny to me. And if I yucked it up there, and the person that did it just didn't make it funny because, not because of them, but because I wrote a thing that wasn't good. And I love the feeling of being nervous for a performance. I'm nervous every time I go to do this podcast, but I love that feeling. It makes me feel prepared, and I feel like I do my best stuff when I am nervous. When I tell you the fear that would run through my body when I knew I was about to go up there and recite this memorized garbage that I knew for a fact, beyond a shadow of a doubt, was going to be bad, and I still had to go up there and perform it because I was being graded, because I was still going to fall on my performance, not the script itself. I knew that it was going to tank. I knew that there was nothing I could do about it. Tried my best and felt terrible the whole time I did it. It made me feel like a failure, even though I was just reading words off of a page that I had memorized. For Dijakovic, for Mia Yim, for Mercedes Martinez, for Dio Madner, for Shane Thorne, that has to be what they are feeling right now. Because whatever they say in public or the personas that they have now taken on Twitter or on television, there is no way you can tell me that these five people think that this is any good. Mercedes Martinez was just added. They're all wearing stupid masks. They have stupid names. We're still waiting to see what Mia Yim's and Mercedes Martinez's are. I bet you they're going to be stupid. And you knowing that this is a terrible idea that is dead on arrival, still have to go out there and act like you think you're cool, because that's the only way that this will work. And the history of WWE is littered with people that were given terrible gimmicks, and the company often will blame them, saying that they did not give it their all. They didn't believe it. They didn't make themselves believe it, so the fans couldn't believe it either. And when, not if, when this terrible retribution gimmick fizzles out, Dominik Dijakovic, Mia Yim, Mercedes Martinez, Dio Madden, and Shane Thorne, at some point, it might be years down the road on a Pritchard podcast, will be blamed for not giving this their all. And that could not be further from the truth. These five are trying their hardest to make this believable and make this good, and make this really anything. The problem is that it's nothing. So, it's bad, and there's nothing they can do to make it better. And I am at least on a surface level familiar with what that feels like, and it's bad. None of these five think that this is a good idea. None of these five can possibly feel like this is ever going to go anywhere positive. These five have to be just running out the clock on this terrible gimmick that was shoved in their laps. And there's nothing they can do about it, because it seems like Vince really likes it. Because whoever came up with this idea, it doesn't matter. Often we'll try and find out who the writer is or who the producer is on things. It doesn't matter. Everything in that company goes past Vince McMahon. That's the way it's always been set up. And at times it's worked really well. At times like this, it hasn't. Because clearly Vince on some level thinks this is a good idea. And unfortunately, it is not. There is a seed of a good idea in here. But from the point at which they showed up as all very short people who are not going to be the real members and lit a road case on fire that was safely out in the parking lot, or threw a cinder block through a glass window and then threw another cinder block through that open window, or did nothing of any particular effect on either Raw or SmackDown, or when they would simply cut the lights a bit, or the fact that they don't show up on pay-per-view, so they're very respectful. This is bad. This is dead on arrival. And I feel so bad for these five. And the only thing that I can hope is that these five are released from this gimmick and somebody just gets bored with it and they let them move on. Because these are five really good professional wrestlers who could be very good on Raw or SmackDown. Or hell, you can put them back in NXT. I was very excited to see Dominik Dijakovic on Raw. I love Dominik Dijakovic. T-Bar is whack as hell, and I don't know how to reconcile that in my head. I like all these five very, very much. I don't hate Retribution. I don't dislike them. I nothing them. I look down at my phone when they're on the screen. I didn't even listen to all of their promo because I didn't need to. And so we're just going to continue with this Retribution thing. They've all been signed to WWE contracts, by the way. So if you want to be signed to a WWE contract for the main roster, all you have to do is destroy a bunch of stuff safely outside, I guess. this is bad, and I feel bad, and whoever made this decision should feel bad. But what makes me feel good is that we had a good episode of NXT this week. As I said, we are only 1 week away from on Sunday from TakeOver. That means we have one more NXT next week before we go to TakeOver next Sunday. So we're starting strong. We have a women's battle royal. The winner is going to challenge Io Shirai for the NXT women's title. Most of the women are just in the ring, and then Candice LeRae makes her entrance. Cuts to the back moments ago from that where Candice LeRae has attacked Tegan Knox. It appears that Tegan Knox has an injured knee, and then Candice LeRae slams a road case on wheels into her knee. For someone, Tegan Knox, who just wants to move on from that knee injury, it's been in just about every promo she's cut. She's sick of that being what she's known for. For somebody who just wants to move on from that, NXT sure are fans of having her knee get hurt a lot. That's how Dakota Kai turned heel. That's how Candice LeRae took her, presumably, out of the Battle Royal. They reference it a lot for somebody who does not want it referenced. Rhea Ripley's the last person out, so those are our last two. It now occurs to me that there are a lot of women, like a lot, didn't count them, but it's a lot, filling up the ring, filling up a relatively small ring at the same time, and that is the opposite of what social distancing is, which is bad. They just had a bunch of cases that they're refusing to let their talent talk about. I don't think putting a bunch of people in the ring at the same time is maybe the best idea ever. But, you know, what do I know? Nothing. Rhea Ripley and Raquel Gonzalez are doing most of the eliminations early. This is the part of a battle royal where you have your main superstars and they're just quickly taking out people that you don't know. I'm pretty familiar with NXT. I don't know most of these people. And that's fine. Battle Royals can be good for that. They didn't really set anybody up in this Battle Royal. It was pretty standard, save for a couple surprises, but I just didn't know these people. Casey Catanzaro is knocked out, but she keeps her feet off of the floor and then rolls back, does a handstand, and then puts her feet like under the bottom rope and then sits up into the ring. That was a cool spot. We go to break and we come back. I'm not sure if this is part of the same spot or if she was knocked out again because it was at a commercial break, but Casey's now hanging onto the guardrail outside. So she jumps from the guardrail to the ring steps, and she's coming up. She's kicked again and jumps back to the guardrail, and then her tag partner, whose name escapes me at the moment, is eliminated and then puts Casey on her shoulders and walks her back to the apron. That was a very extended Kofi spot. Kofi always has some cool spot at the Royal Rumble where he's almost eliminated and then finds his way back in. Casey clearly wanted to have like a multiple step one, which was interesting. It was all very athletic, and I liked how she used her tag team partner to get back into the ring. That was cool. Rhea and Raquel Gonzalez eliminate each other at the same time, and so they're fighting outside. Those were the two that I thought it was going to come down to, so that is a surprise. So we have Shotzi Blackheart, Candice LeRae, Aaliyah, Dakota Kai, and Indy Hartwell are left. And then Casey Catanzaro eliminates Indy Hartwell. And then Casey is kicked out by Dakota Kai. So we have Dakota Kai, Candice LeRae, and Shotzi Blackheart as our three left. Shotzi takes out Dakota, and then we're down to Shotzi Blackheart and Candice LeRae. They have a good back and forth. Candice is knocked outside the ring, and then she's knocked onto the ring steps. Shotzi's trying to reach down to pick her up, and then she basically pushes Shotzi up with her legs and eliminates her. So she basically flips her out with her legs, and so it'll be Io Shirai versus Candice LeRae at TakeOver for Io Shirai's NXT Women's title. That was a very cool finish to a Battle Royal. I haven't seen that before, I don't think. Usually people will hang out on the apron and do eliminations that way. I don't recall having seen it happen on the ring steps, and I certainly haven't seen somebody get flipped over somebody's legs to do it. That might have happened at some point, but I missed it if it did. That was a very creative way to do that. It makes Candice look good because she eliminated Shotzi. Doesn't make Shotzi look bad because Candice caught her with something that none of us saw coming. So that works out well for both of them. So I'm not mad at that at all. Not mad at any part of that. So We have Johnny Gargano coming out to celebrate with Candice, celebrating her big win in that battle royal. They're both very excited, and they should be. So Johnny Gargano is going to be challenging Damian Priest at TakeOver for the North American title. So Damian Priest is doing an interview. He says, Johnny made NXT, or so he says. He says, but my reign of infamy isn't coming to an end anytime soon. As long as I am champ, this title will continue to slip through his fingers. Interviewer mentions, I think it's Sarah, that tonight Damian Priest will take on Austin Theory. He says, Austin Theory is better than his record would suggest, but it sucks to be him because his slide is going to continue. So tonight, we're going to have Cameron Grimes, Timothy Thatcher, Bronson Reed, Kushida, and Kyle O'Reilly. They're all preparing for their gauntlet match tonight over a performance by Corey Taylor. That was a cool song, and it set the tone for what we're going to get here tonight. So a gauntlet match is going to take place with those five, and the winner faces Finn Balor for the NXT title at TakeOver. Austin Theory is being interviewed by, I believe, Sarah as well. Johnny Gargano interrupts, says that Theory basically reminds him of himself. He says, with all the talent in the world, he says, if you soften Priest up before TakeOver, I will not forget it. Go get him. Sarah wishes Austin Theory luck. And Austin Theory just says, luck, and walks away, despite absolutely desperately needing luck, as he has lost every match since he has come back. So he definitely should have taken that luck with him. Damian Priest is out next. He's your current North American champion. I'm still not really feeling Damian Priest as champ. He seems like a heel, like a bad guy. He acts like one still, but he's clearly a babyface or a good guy, and that's confusing to me. It's just a weird juxtaposition to have somebody who is a good guy who still acts like a cocky bad guy. It's just, I don't know, it's weird. Damian Priest is taken over early. He does that Undertaker old school where he holds the person's arm and then gets up on the top rope, walks to the middle of the top rope, and jumps off. But he comes off the top rope into a crossbody, which is even more impressive than what the Undertaker does. Priest hits the Reckoning and wins. It was a good match, but Damian Priest handled Theory without much trouble at all. Doesn't seem like Theory softened up Priest at all during the match itself. I don't know if we're heading for Austin Theory getting like a coach. I don't know if they're going to do a thing with him and Johnny Gargano, maybe. That seems like something that they were setting up maybe for the future, because I don't think Johnny's going to beat Damian Priest, so maybe they're doing something there. It's always weird when they do a losing storyline where somebody just can't get a win, because it does give somebody something to come back from, but in the meantime, it just makes them seem like losers who shouldn't be taken seriously. So it'll be interesting to see how we kind of dig our way out of this hole that we've dug Austin Theory in. So I don't know, we'll see. So Johnny attacks Damian Priest after the match as he's celebrating and holding up that title. He super kicks him in the face, and Johnny stands over Damian Priest and mocks his bow and arrow taunt that he does. This is weird. There's a vignette of a dark room, and it's lit by, like, dark vision. There's a computer voice that's pretty hard to understand that says, after years of dedication, I'm not sure what happened. These NXT championships have been in isolation for too long, and there's some NXT titles in a glass case that's a little bit fogged over. And now I have to come back to take what is mine. And we see a third person of, I'm not sure if it was supposed to look like a video game character or if it was supposed to be the person, but it looked like a video game character. Video game character throws something at the case and it breaks, and they're coming for what's theirs. And then we find out that whoever this is coming October the 4th. So I don't know what that is. I haven't seen a name floated. It could be that I haven't checked in a bit, but it was a cool vignette. It was very different. I'm not sure if this is a new person or if it's somebody returning. Kind of seemed like somebody returning, but I don't know, and I don't know if that was supposed to be a video game. It was a pretty off-putting thing. Having the computer voices talk were weird in a good way, and having a dark room lit only by dark vision is certainly a creepy way to start something. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see who this person is that I'm assuming is returning, but also what the hell do I know, you know? Io Shirai is being interviewed. She says she doesn't like Candice. She never has. Candace and Johnny say, come up and they're talking about how Io didn't come out to congratulate her. She says, oh, you must be scared. Johnny Gargano gets in her face, says, I don't know what you said, but I don't like the way it sounded. And Damian Priest comes through a door and says, there you are, hits Johnny in the face. And Candace continues to yell at Io. So we have one more week before TakeOver. So it seems like what we set up here is Damian Priest and Io Shirai are champions versus Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano are challengers, maybe for next week. That would be a good match, I think. I mean, you have a story between Candace and Io already. You have as much of a story as you're going to get between Johnny and Damian Priest already, so maybe we just do a mixed tag match and have Johnny and Candace win, because I don't think either Johnny or Candace are going to leave TakeOver as champions. Could be wrong, but it doesn't feel like it, so I don't know if that's what we were setting up next week, but it seemed like it. And our main event, as we said, is that gauntlet match. We're starting with Kushida and Kyle O'Reilly as the first two in. So for this match, two men start, and every 4 minutes, someone else comes in. There's no disqualifications. The only way to be eliminated is pinfall or submission, and the last man standing faces Finn Balor for the NXT title at TakeOver. This is cool because gauntlet matches are almost always really good. It gives people a chance to shine, especially if you're in first. If you remember, this is how Kofi Mania started, with a gauntlet match. Originally, I forget who else was in the match, but it was supposed to be... Who was it supposed to be? Mustafa Ali. Couldn't remember his name for a second. It was supposed to be Mustafa Ali in that gauntlet match. And I don't know if they would have had Mustafa Ali do what Kofi Kingston did, but Kofi Kingston is in that gauntlet match. He's outlasting everybody. And that started Kofi Mania, because he reminded people just how good he is. And from there, he started having an issue with Daniel Bryan. And for some reason, they thought it necessary to have Vince come in and put obstacles in Kofi's path. Blah, blah, blah. Eventually, Big E and Xavier Woods win a tag team gauntlet. At that point, they were just overdoing the gauntlets and got Kofi the shot at WrestleMania. He also was in the Elimination Chamber. And by that point, again, because of the gauntlet match, Kofi Mania had started. So if you have somebody come in early in a gauntlet match and really get beat down and really have to fight to survive, and the gauntlet match goes a long time, I think Kofi's was an hour, you can really make somebody. And it seems like Kyle O'Reilly's going to be our Iron Man for this match. You're almost always going to have one of your first two people last till the end, at the very least. He makes the most sense to me to win. Kyle O'Reilly has been somewhat hesitant with his other Undisputed Era members when they've been doing bad guy stuff. Him and Adam Cole seem to be turning face. I'm not sure about Bobby Fish, and I'm not sure about Roderick Strong. So I feel like this could be a breakout for Kyle O'Reilly specifically as a face and as his own man. Kyle O'Reilly has always been either with Bobby Fish or Undisputed Era as a whole since he came to NXT, but he is a great singles wrestler. He was before NXT. He hasn't really gotten a chance to show that yet. Not necessarily a bad thing. It's just that he's been a part of a group, and so he's functioned mostly in that group. But having him win a gauntlet match like this and go the distance would go a long way towards showing that and making him an immediate viable contender for Finn Balor. Kushida has a new attitude, and he's very focused on Finn Balor. He's much more vicious. That could be an excellent match as well. I'd love to see that match at some point. Bronson Reed is out next. It occurs to me at this point that if I were in a gauntlet match, I don't know how I got here, but here I am. If I were in a gauntlet match, my strategy would be to hide under the ring before the match started and then come back in when there's one guy left. I don't know why nobody's done this. Feels like a guaranteed win. Somebody just went maybe 30 minutes, maybe an hour, and they don't know where I am. Where's Zach? Where is he? And then, well, I guess my name wouldn't be Zach. I would have to have like a wrestler. Sizzle? Where's Sizzle? I don't know. Sizzle's got to be here somewhere. I don't see Sizzle. I guess Kyle O'Reilly wins. Yeah, bam! Nope, it's me. I was here the whole time. I brought snacks under there. I had Gatorade. I had a TV under there. And I'm facing Finn Balor now. And I didn't think this all the way through because I don't want to fight Finn. But it's too late. Here I am, Sizzle, Finn Balor, NXT title. But nobody in this match does that. Bronson Reed before this was basically an enhancement talent a while back, but since he qualified for that NXT title ladder match, he's had an edge to him, and they've been taking him more seriously, rightfully so, because he's very good. He's not just the thick boy anymore because they thought it was funny that he was fat and wrestled, but he's like a bad man. He's not to be messed with. He's very strong. He's very agile for a big man. And so they're taking him seriously. And because of that, I think he would also make a really interesting matchup for Finn. I think all the people in this match, save a couple, could make really interesting feuds for Finn Balor down the road, because I don't think Kyle O'Reilly's going to take the title from him so soon. But I think he's got a lot of good contenders just in this match to work with. Bronson Reed hits the splash on Kushida from the top rope and eliminates him, so we're down to four total. Timothy Thatcher is out next. Timothy Thatcher just lost a one-on-one match for the North American title, so I'm not super sure why he's in this match. It feels like, of the two people, Damian Priest would be in this match. I know he has a title match at TakeOver, but it doesn't make sense to me that Timothy Thatcher couldn't win the North American title, so the next step is to put him in a qualifier for the NXT title. There had to have been somebody back there that you could have put in that match instead of Timothy Thatcher. Tommaso Ciampa, maybe, would have been good. At least he hasn't had a direct title shot in a while. That would have made more sense to me, but I don't know. And good old Cameron Grimes is out next. It always feels like Cameron Grimes could sneak out a win in any match, even though he doesn't. Ever since he beat Finn Balor a bunch of weeks back, he's very entertaining. At first, didn't care about him because he didn't really do anything for me. Now I get it. He's the small bad guy who's not particularly gifted but thinks the world of himself and can't believe it when his plans don't work. He's very cocky, and he acts like he's already the champion even though he's never been champion. I love it. I'm down with it. Just give me a character I can latch onto, and I'm here. And I'm here with Cameron Grimes, and also Cameron Grimes is excellent as a heel. I think he's underappreciated for how much of a glue he is for some of these matches and making you care about them. And when a good guy beats him down, you're really excited because he's such a sniveling bad guy who is so sure of himself and shouldn't be that it's always great. Kyle O'Reilly hits a knee on Bronson Reed and eliminates him. I'm going to be honest, I looked down for a second and Cameron Grimes is just gone. Oh, no. There he is. He's at ringside being smart. Never mind. I thought he got eliminated. He didn't. Thatcher has O'Reilly in a sleeper hold, and then Cameron Grimes goes to kick O'Reilly, but O'Reilly catches that kick and puts him in an ankle lock for a second. That was a cool spot. I wish Grimes had been eliminated there. That was really cool. Timothy Thatcher gets rolled up by Kyle O'Reilly for a quick three count. I like that these gentlemen are all, well, gentlemen, and after getting eliminated don't come back into the ring because there's no disqualifications. Presumably Timothy Thatcher would want to come in and beat up Kyle O'Reilly. But I like that would be too much of a mess, and so logistically you have to just be like, yep, okay, you just walk to the back. If this were like a one-on-one match, Timothy Thatcher would absolutely have come back in to fight Kyle O'Reilly. So O'Reilly catches Grimes in the knee bar, and Cameron Grimes taps out. And so we're going to have Kyle O'Reilly challenging Finn Balor for the NXT title at TakeOver. Roderick Strong and Adam Cole are out to celebrate with Kyle O'Reilly. It's weird that Bobby Fish isn't out there with them. I don't think Bobby Fish is hurt, but Bobby Fish gets hurt sometimes, so that could have been it. Or I don't know if they're telling a story where the other members of Undisputed Era are cool with this new direction and maybe Bobby Fish isn't. It's just very telling that I would think that if he were hurt, that they would have a celebration backstage, but they made a point to have Adam Cole and Roderick Strong come out and be genuinely happy for Kyle O'Reilly, which makes it very obvious that Bobby Fish wasn't there. So I don't know if Bobby Fish is just off for some reason. That could be it, but it was just very telling that they had only one member of this Undisputed Era not present for the celebration. So they're out celebrating with him, and then Finn comes out with the NXT title on his shoulder. He's at the entrance ramp. Kyle O'Reilly's in the ring. They stare each other down, and Finn Balor has a smirk on his face. Finn Balor doesn't really smile anymore. He just smirks, which is really just a great example for bad guy versus good guy. Good guy Finn, big wise smile. Bad guy Finn, just a confident smirk on his face. I think this is going to be an excellent match. I think that this should be your main event, and I think that if you give these two time, they're absolutely going to tear the house down. I think Finn Balor's great as NXT champion. I think it's great that they haven't used the Demon since he's been back to NXT. I think that he said in an interview that he felt like it had become something of a crutch for him on the main roster, and it had been used too much. It was basically beat Finn Balor, then fight the Demon. And they haven't relied on that. It's just been Finn Balor. And then maybe down the road, if you have a big situation, he can use the Demon. But I like that they haven't used it. He hasn't had to rely on it. He had an attitude change, a perception change, and now he's just fighting on his own. I like that a lot. And I think that Kyle O'Reilly is really good in the ring. If you haven't gotten a chance to see Kyle O'Reilly single stuff, you're going to love it. I would suggest going and watching some of that back, or you could save it for next Sunday because they're going to tear the house down. These are two excellent wrestlers who are going to go to war for this NXT title. And this is a situation we run into with a lot of Io Shirai's title matches, where I think it's a foregone conclusion that Io, and in this case Finn Balor, are going to hold on to their titles. But even with winning, Finn Balor can make Kyle O'Reilly as a single star. He shouldn't have to because Kyle's already established, but in the world of NXT, where people may not have seen his work before, you can absolutely put a guy over without winning, or rather without losing to him, and I think Finn Balor's the right man for the job. But I'm excited for NXT next week. I'm very excited for TakeOver next Sunday, but let me know what you think. Again, at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT on Twitter. Let me know what you thought of NXT this week. Let me know what you think of who won, who lost. I was surprised by the Candice LeRae winning. Let me know if you were. Let me know what you're looking forward to at TakeOver, what you feel like isn't really catching your attention at TakeOver, or anything you have wrestling related. We're always talking about wrestling over there. A lot of times I'll get my topic of the day at the top of the show from Twitter. So come join the discussion again at ZACHNXT on Twitter. In the meantime, NXT is over this week. That means that unfortunately our time together has come to a close, but don't worry. Next week, I'm coming right back at you. In the meantime, I have been Zachary Smith. This has been the NXT Podcast. You have been fantastic as always. Thank you for listening.